From the Newstalk STL studios in St. Louis, it's the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, we explore the Titanic wreckage with Bill Willard. And then Todd's real-life human son and human friend join us in studio. And the Right Mind studio band, Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
Wow, Joey, I tell you what, I am really impressed by myself. You know why? Because I've been staying up past 8:30. I've hit like the 9:30 mark because of the holidays. And I'm thinking that, do I seem like I'm a little like dragging today? I mean, are there any bags? I mean, besides, you know, normal bags, are there any bigger bags under my eyes or anything?
No, but you have to get in those reps before New Year's comes. Because if you can't make it past midnight, everyone's going to laugh at you.
There's no way I can. No, you know what I do? I've got this whole thing planned out. I mean, I go to bed like around 9 o'clock, like I typically do. And then, you know, my wife, she'll turn on like the Hallmark channel because that puts me to sleep
extra
right away.
Sleepy shows.
Right, exactly. And then at midnight, okay, I set my alarm, which is now on my phone. I used to have one, you know, on my nightstand, but now it's on my phone. And at midnight, it goes off and I give her a kiss on the forehead and then I'll go back to bed. That's my whole New Year's now. Are you a big partier? I mean, are you a big party New Year's guy?
There was a time where we had an incredible festivity down around the Fox Theater in the Grand Center. It was called First Night.
Oh, okay.
And back when I worked for Radio Disney, we actually got hired to work down there, and that was so much fun.
Were they woke back then? I mean, did you have to do stuff like dress up like, you know, Pluto, but she was really like a Pluto girl?
You know, staying with the midnight thing, you know, everyone was pretty sleepy around 11:30. So, yeah, Disney was not woke back then.
I'm sorry, I cut you off. I was going to make it a point that I was going to be more polite today. Now, I'm going to do that for at least a few seconds.
Well, First Night, big street festival. Yes. I mean, there were the Bubble Machine guy was there. Radio Disney was out there cranking out the jams. And then there was a circus going next door at the big cathedral. There was an art show up in the artist loft. There was an improv show.
Oh, gosh.
In one of the other little theaters.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. And then fireworks would go off around midnight.
Downtown?
Mm-hmm. And then I think people started getting shot out in public and stampedes would happen.
Oh,
not
at
this specific event, but in the world in general, people started getting shot. And I just think it got canceled. They stopped doing First Night. It got too expensive. Maybe insurance rates were way too high to cover something like that. But I missed that event. That used to be so much fun. So, I haven't done anything.
This is where a marketing thing comes in. What you do in a situation like that, you shouldn't let just the fact that people are getting shot end it. Okay, so instead of First Night, you call it Last Night, and then anybody that's shot, you say, oh, look, so they're like taking part in Last Night.
And merchandising. You sell shirts that says, I survived First Night 2023.
I like that. See, now we're thinking here. That's right. Yeah.
We can do our own street festival. No permits. It'll be even more exciting if you survive that. And just go out, you know, with a bang.
Yeah.
You know, for New Year's, something I like to do.
What?
Is right around midnight, I reheat some old pasta that I got.
Oh, yes.
And I just eat a big old pile of old lasagna. And it's so delicious to ring in the new year. Old lasagna.
I get it. That was punny. That was like a joke. That was like a kid joke. That's something you could say for Halloween.
I came up with that on Tuesday, and I said, wait till Todd hears this one.
That was a good one. You're not going to believe what happened to me, not recently, but back like in, it was like 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My wife, another one of my kids popped out, and he's here in the studio with us today. My son, Blake, is here in the studio with us, and he's the kid that popped out in 2004. How you doing, Blake?
I'm Todd Showalter's real-life human son. I'm Blake Showalter.
Yes,
I'm doing
you
great.
You're real life. You're real life, and he's my real son. He looks real, doesn't he, Joey?
Yeah, I don't know why you spit on him. That's supposed to be a saying, like a spitting image doesn't mean like, oh, that's my son.
He does it all the time.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really sure if, is that really what it is?
I don't know the etymology, smart word for a smart guy. I don't know the history.
Now, I thought entomology was like the study of bugs, like Greta Thunberg. Like she has a book out now, her favorite bug recipes. As a matter of fact,
I went and visited a friend, and they showed me their mushroom collection. They bought spores online for $30, and it just says for mycology purposes only, nothing shady, but when you open it up, it's got instructions on how to make drugs.
Oh, that is wonderful.
So he's got the mushroom bag.
Mushrooms.
It's about the size of a popcorn bag on the ground in the kitchen with a cardboard box over it and a heating pad under it. And he's growing his own drugs. Oh. And I think that is my best friend for the new year.
You know,
I'm gonna have.
Well, that's what you have to do nowadays because, you know, Walgreens, you go there and by the time you actually make it through the drive through, you're not sick anymore because it takes about 3 or 4 hours to make it through the drive through. It really does. It used to be, boom, it's really convenient. Now, you know, I go in with a head cold or whatever I have and I got to get some antibiotic or heroin or whatever they're giving that day. And by the time I get to the window, I'm like, well, I actually, now it's like, you know, a week from Tuesday. I feel much better now. I think it's all a plot.
You've talked me out of families completely because it sounds like when one gets sick, the whole family gets sick. I don't know how you guys do
it. Yes, that's for sure. And Blake over here, my real life son, who's not fake, he'll attest to that my wife, who I promised again not to bring up today, who is also his mother, she
real
will
life
get
mother.
Real life mother, not a fake one. Okay, this is all real stuff here, okay? This is the real deal. And she'll come home with one of these things, and next thing you know, everybody else is sick.
One of these children?
No, one of these he's bugs. One of the children. That's him. He's right here, and he's the real one. And you know, I was there. You know, I was the first one. Do you know this, Blake? I was the first one not only to hold you when you were born, but also drop you.
I'm aware. I'm fully aware.
But you didn't bounce because they said, oh, the second baby bounces. You didn't. You were like plop. You were right there on the floor. And they said, oh, my gosh. But you turned out okay.
I've known the reasonings for those weird migraines for years now. I know that you dropped me.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I live with the repercussions, but that's all right. It's okay.
And I said, the reason you have two eyes is because you don't have to look. See, now, if you lose one, as you did, now you have another one.
Well,
one's a little blurry,
but it's okay.
Stop complaining.
I will stop complaining.
Please stop.
Organ harvesting, the best reason for children.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah,
well, you talk about your friend there growing drugs in his garage. Reminds me of our old neighbor, Brett Johnson, the DA.
First name, last name.
That's right. Oh,
yes,
I know.
He's a novice to radio. I haven't taught him that part. But, yeah, we had a neighbor. He was actually supposed to be on the show. And he's a DEA agent, which is perfect if you're going to be growing mushroom drugs like you mentioned, Joey. Mm-hmm. So what we could do.
Or any drugs.
We could have your friend that's making the heroin or whatever he's making in his home with his heating pad, which I thought you just used. And by the way, you said spores? I thought those were like graham crackers with chocolate and marshmallows or something. Is that the same?
Close.
Very close.
Oh, close. Why? Am I off? S'mores.
That's right.
S'mores. I'm sorry. I got that.
There
backwards.
It is.
Dropped a tab of marshmallow before we started, and I am tripping.
There you are. I can just tell you're just completely melting in your seat. There.
That's what we do on this show, because anybody that has to be around me usually has to be on some type of, prescription or narcotic.
I'll never forget. Brett would come over. He'd give us all these new hats, and one of them was a DEA hat, and I'd wear it to school, and there was nothing cooler, and I'd never made friends faster than wearing a DEA hat to school.
Oh, that is wild.
That was right. No one talked to me.
Open your lockers. We're doing a bunk check. That's like prison talk.
This is great for radio, by the way, because, you know, I'll describe things visually that nobody can see. But my son is wearing a New York Jets hat that he got from his girlfriend's parents. And that shows you dedication that you're a New York Jets fan. But you also, you're the host of your own sports show. Isn't this neat, Joey? Did you know my son is like, he does broadcasting also. Is this really broadcasting or what we're doing? Is this just kind of like goofing off?
I mean, if it's got an RSS feed, that's officially means it's a podcast that goes out. Or if you put it on multiple streams like Facebook, that's broad. That's a broad. Are there any ladies on your show?
For my show? Yeah. No, not really. No,
not a broadcast.
He does a manly show. Tell us about it. Is there any way that anybody could possibly see your show?
Oh, of course there is. I mean, you can go on YouTube at On Target Sports. We started up this year down at Cape Girardeau. It's a school publication. But I do my own show with my co-host, Beto Vacadillas. It's called The 2-Minute Warning. And, down there, we shoot that show weekly. It's a lot of fun. Have a lot of athletes on from the Cape Girardeau area that come on the show. A lot of guys who may even get drafted this year. So, it's a good time.
Can you say as fast as you can, shoot that show weekly.
Shoot that show weekly. Another three times or two times or how many times?
No, that's fine. You did it. Okay. I just wanted to make sure you were.
I heard him say the S word, so I had to believe
that's
that.
That's fair. I said the S word?
He had to shoot that. I heard him say.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we don't want to. That's even better. Now Blake has been beeped.
I've been
beeped. Well, now you got to go. You know what you have to do now? You have to go to radio prison.
That's right.
You have to spoon with Vic Porcelli for the rest of the day.
It's like you in Facebook prison, isn't that right?
Pretty much, yeah. Anyway, so Joey, what was your favorite gift that you got for the holidays?
Well, I am still a degenerate, so I'll be that guy who shows up with a load of laundry at Christmas. Like, hey, I'm just here for the washing machine.
Yeah.
And then when I open up the jeans that I asked for, that my mother must give give me, then I just throw them in the load and have them all ready to go on my way out the door.
And so you're all set.
Yeah. So I got like 3 pairs of jeans and they look great on the hiney.
Well, I bet they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, is everybody still talking in your family? Because that's how I measure Christmas. You know, I always say, if everybody is still talking, I guess it was a pretty good Christmas, unless I don't want them to talk, because then I don't have to talk to them for the rest of the year. But in your family, is everybody still talking?
Yeah, we had a hilarious white elephant Secret Santa gift exchange
thing. You can't say that anymore. It's an elephant of color.
Of course. And so what we did was everyone brought in one gift, and it was a mystery. No one knew what they were going to get.
When they
opened it, 3 of them were identical gifts.
Right.
It was so funny. We laughed. It was one of those burrito blankets. So
a
it's a
blanket
that's in the shape of a circular tortilla. And then when you wrap yourself up, you look like a little burrito.
Oh,
and
that's
three
nice.
Of those
Did you
were
take
brought.
Pictures? Can you share?
I will share, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. I didn't get anything I really wanted for Christmas, because all I've ever wanted for, and Blake over here will attest to this, all my life, all I've ever wanted was a giant bubble hockey game. And every year they say, well, I hope you didn't want that because you didn't get it.
Mom won't let us.
Mom won't let us.
We were going to 1 year, and she said no.
Mom won't let us do much of anything sometimes. You know, because did you ever want to, like, build a bonfire in your living room? Just like when it was too, like, say it was, like, raining outside, and you didn't want to get wet. And so I said, why don't we go camping inside? And at first, it's fun. Okay, we'll put a sheet over the dining room table and things. But if it gets chilly, I figure, why don't we build a bonfire? And that just didn't go up. You would have thought that I, like, you know, spilled blood on the car.
Or wanted to burn
like
the house down.
Wait, what? Is there a problem with that?
I don't think there is.
No, I don't think so either. Well, yeah. Yeah, I think.
I was in Boy Scouts, and so we always had a tent on us. And one time I just got an itch to put the tent up in the living room. And then I even put the couch inside the tent because I needed the room. So the couch was inside the tent. And then the TV, I moved in there too. And I was just watching HBO in the tent in the living room just for fun.
Well, that's the way I would camp.
And that's a true story, yeah.
Well, I totally believe you, because everything you say on this show is true, as do I. Because, you know, I don't make anything up. I want the listeners to know that everything on this show is almost factual, but there are a lot of facts on this show.
Todd America keeps you in check.
Oh, he brought up Todd America.
I did.
You know, Blake knows Todd America.
I do.
Yes. Well, there's a person out there, and I have to say,
a vigilante of sorts.
He is a vigilante. He's this guy that looks a lot like me, and he wears like this. I think it's because of the mullet, but he wears like this headband, and he's like, you know, patriotic and stuff. And I keep getting this thing that, oh, you're Todd America, and I'm not. But Blake, he thought I was Todd America for a long time.
Is there a Blake America? I feel like I've seen 2 shirtless people that kind of look like you hanging out together.
I think it's like USA Blake
or something like that. Something. I heard there may be a Liberty Laura out there. Who knows?
The whole family is kind of into it, but you know, we're just more of like groupies. We're not really the real
I'm just deal. A fan. I'm just an overall fan. And if not that, a diehard follower.
And that's what we put the therapy in, family therapy, because we all have to go to family therapy, don't we? Because
that's right. Mom makes us.
She does. And she doesn't. And what she does, she has a whip. And she says, you will do this and you will do that. And we say, well, this is the problem. She has too much control.
Well, it used to be a gun with rubber bullets, but she decided to tame it down a little bit.
Well, and when grandma lost both eyes instead of the one,
that's
what did that. Oh, that was
God rest her soul.
It's a catch-22 when mom gets mad that we went in her whip closet, because then she's like, well, I got to get the whip out anyway. So I guess you're...
Well, yeah. And I got my wife a whip one time, and she said, I'm not using that. I go, it's not what you think. It's like something else. I'm not supposed to bring that up.
I'm here.
I'm into archaeology. That's my real thing that I'm into. So, yeah, take the whip, take the fedora, please.
I heard a funny joke, you know, speaking of archaeology and women, that you know what archaeology and a woman have in common? They can dig up the past better than anybody in the entire world. You get it, women and, you know, like archaeologists. It's kind of like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a good joke or not. Guess what? Admiral Andy is not going to be on the show today.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, I know you do. He's actually on some type of trip or a safari or something like with his family.
A mushroom spores trip, perhaps?
Probably. We were so nice to him last week. I think he just up and died.
I think what happened was he couldn't stand it. It was like if you have like too much sugar, if you have like some type of insulin-induced coma, I think that's what happened.
He has a very welcoming aura around him. I met him once.
Well, he used to live in a tube.
Oh.
Yeah, he did. And it went under the water. Yeah. We have a guy coming on the show today that's been under the water. His name's Bill Willard, all right? And he went underwater and saw the Titanic. The actual Titanic, not the movie. It's not like he went in a tube and like went underwater and watched Leo, whatever, that DiCaprio guy or whatever. He saw the real Titanic, and he's going to tell us about it.
I bet it's like Avatar was when people saw that. They wanted to go live on that planet, Sephora. Pandora, one of those two jewelry stores.
Spore?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. They wanted to live on Sephora.
Yeah.
And that's probably like what happened with the Titanic in 97 when that came out. I bet all these little girls thought, I want to go live down there.
Oh,
they
yes.
tried to swim and then just bloop. They just drowned.
It's not a good idea.
That's a whole other show.
So taking a boat is actually a great idea. Taking a little submersible, that's the way to get there. Aquaman just came out. We'll see if you met him and all the other little seahorses.
Did you see that? Do you like those Marvel movies?
Marvel's better than DC, and I don't give DC a chance at all unless it's... No, that's literally nothing that I've given a chance since the Batman, the Christopher Nolan Batmans. I haven't watched them.
Was that any good? See, I get kind of bored with it. I like the stuff. There used to be a show like Batman and Robin. Now, that's DC, but this was like the TV show with Adam West and Burt Ward.
Okay, bang, pow.
That was my kind of show as far as superheroes go. I mean, they would like act like they're climbing up a building wall, but you knew they were actually just, they had turned the camera. Those are special effects that I like because it actually uses... physical ingenuity to do it, not computers, unlike Todd America. Why do I get mistaken for this guy?
I have no idea. And I think I've seen Todd America a couple times, if not just a silhouette of him. He's far more athletic than you. I mean, you've fallen down the steps multiple times. Todd America would never.
Here's the thing about my family, and Blake will attest to this. The first thing that happens when I injure myself, say I fall down the steps or, maybe like a door hits me in the face or maybe even a giant, panel of glass falls on my head and I have shreds of, different glass pieces in my scalp that, I won't get, are you okay? Is everything all right? I'll get, you didn't get blood on the floor, did you?
Well, then you don't help yourself, though. You take numerous pictures and then send it to us through numerous forms of communication. That be a group chat, direct message, or posting it on Facebook? Well, I love to see it, I guess.
I do that too, Joey. Whenever I injure myself and there's blood involved, I like showing people that I've been injured. And I do that for sympathy.
You could be part superhero. I mean, you have an origin story of being hit by five different cars. I don't know how many times it takes to actually kick in, but you must be superhero by now.
In 1 year. In 1 year.
And the question begins to be asked, whose fault truly is it after being hit five times?
He's just in love with those dotted yellow lines. Like, ooh, so pretty. And then bam.
Must be.
Well, I always wanted to be a bumper sticker, I think. And, I'm getting closer each day.
There you go.
Yeah, crazy. Well, I didn't get anything I really wanted for Christmas. No, I did, actually. You know what my wife got me? I did get something I wanted. I got gift cards. And I got you a gift card, Joey, but it's a whole different story. But I got gift cards, and one of them was to the dollar store.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one to a thrift store. So I can, and each one is for like $20. I can shop there forever. Which brings me back to another point that has nothing to do with my gift cards. The dollar store has security cameras. Now, if you're going to be a thief and steal something, why would you go to the dollar store? Why wouldn't you go to some type of jewelry store or something that had high-priced things? Instead, you're going to steal some, like a rubber, pencil eraser and go to jail for it?
I think they sell the fake ones for a dollar, the ones that just look like a bubble and you just tape it to your ceiling. So it's just an advertisement for their fake security cameras. They don't have real ones.
Joey, you're encouraging me to go rip a bunch of stuff off from the dollar store, even though I have my $20 gift card. Is that what you're saying? It sounds to me like you're leading toward a life of crime.
It's baby crimes. They barely count.
Period.
You know what? You got me a gift card, I guess, for a mafia hit or something. It's for a chain of mafia hits I've never heard of. It's called Jersey Mike's.
Yeah, I know.
I've never been to Jersey Mike's, but he sounds like a dangerous guy.
Well, it's going to be a fun show today. We've got Professor Jim, who has actually transported himself somehow from California, from the beautiful Monterey area he raves about, as you well know, Joey, and he rubs that into our faces. He's going to be here, and he's bringing, I think, his daughter with him. Is this what you do when you're, if from this beautiful area of California, and you say, oh, I have a week off, I think I'm going to go to bullet-ridden St. Louis?
It's someone who tried to escape and remain anonymous who keeps coming back to St. Louis to be on a radio show. I don't understand how he became a professor in the first place.
Well, maybe he's a professor of...
Real low bar in California.
I think it is, actually. They have Gavin Newsom, and now he wants to be the president and destroy the country as much as the state. He hasn't said he wants to be president, but I'm pretty much sure they're going to kick Joe out.
Seen him tying Joe Biden's shoelaces before he heads up on stage. He's like, oh, I almost got him to... I can't even joke about this. I think the Secret Service will hear it, but it was,
that's all right.
In this potential joke, Newsom was the one doing the crime, not me.
Yeah, well, fair enough. He looks kind of sleazy to me. You know, he looks like he should be selling used cars somewhere. Don't you think? Yeah, now I'll probably be in trouble, but I really don't care.
Take this 2024 Sacramento. Yeah. That's just a part of California.
It is. That's where the capital is. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do like the, we're really on a roll here. Have you ever done like all the states? Did you have to know what the capitals were? That was the stupidest thing along with algebra I ever had to learn in school.
Is that really the stupidest thing to know all the capitals of the states? No, yeah. I mean, I watch Jeopardy nightly, so you got to be prepared for stupid stuff like that.
I'm never going to be allowed on Jeopardy, though.
Why?
Because probably my wife won't let me.
You got to stay at your own podium. You're going to be talking to the other contestants. That's probably
like
why.
I do like the podium. Maybe Mount Pelier, Vermont. That was the capital. See, that sticks with me. I could, all these important things that mm-hmm. I was supposed to, like geometry and stuff. The only thing I remember from geometry is the shortest distance between things is 2 points, a straight line. I don't know. See, I forgot. But Mount Pelier, I feel like I'm on some of those spores that you were talking about earlier. I'm all over
every
the place.
Every capital should have at least half the name of the state in it so we can memorize it better. Vermont, Montpelier.
Montpelier.
Missouri,
Jefferson
Jefferson City. Yeah, it should have at least half of the actual state name in it.
That is true. Well, getting right to it, if something was broken or damaged, which is actually a form of being broken, or say I wanted to build something or add something or take something away, do you know who I would call, Joey?
You know, if a bullet came down from the sky on New Year's and put a hole in my roof, I'd call Rick Bernstein.
I sure would, too, after I went to the hospital, of course. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because Rick, my buddy Rick Bernstein with the Bernstein Remodelers, I've known him for now 20 years. And when the one thing about Rick, he's very dedicated to his craft. Everybody that he hires is highly trained. And what else are they, Joey?
They are the mostest, politest people you will ever meet.
Oh, it's amazing. It really is. It's almost sickening. It's worse than how we were to Andy last week. No, but they're sincerely polite. And not only that, they know what they're doing. So if you need anything done around the house, whether it's, build a deck, maybe add an addition, something for the basement, I want you to call my buddy Rick at the Bernstein Remodelers. Because not only that, say you've got something broken, as you just mentioned, like a hole in your roof from a bullet that was, from New Year's Eve. Well, that's okay because Rick at the Bernstein Remodelers, they fix things as well. They handle electric, plumbing, plaster, you name it. They can take care of it. They also work all over the St. Louis area. So if you're in St. Louis, not listening to this from Finland, you can give them a call if you need something. So I want you to do that right now, whether you need something fixed or moved. Oh, did I mention this, Joey, that they also move walls?
You have mentioned that, and yes. I love the idea of just opening up the space, open concept.
Well, if you do want a wall moved, Rick at the Bernstein Remodelers will do that. So I want you to give them a call right now, won't you? They're at 314-324-3024. That's 314-324-3024. And when we come back, more fun and mayhem on the way. I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey V, my real life son Blake in the studio. This is The Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Titanic expert Bill Willard tells us what it's like to salvage artifacts from the most famous boat in history.
Hey, it's Todd Showalter from The Right Mind Show, and we've got breaking news. For the holidays, liberaljoke.com is open for business. What is it? Well, it's got all the things that you're not going to find in the store, and they're kind of offensive. And guess what? Joey V is our new store manager.
When you buy one item from liberaljoke.com, a Joey V in need gets one free. Please help the community, give back, buy something from liberaljoke.com. A Joey V really needs your help today.
And please do. His eyes are bulging out of his head as he says that. He really looks pathetic. So go to liberaljoke.com. That's liberaljoke.com. There's funny t-shirts, mugs, you name it. Again, stuff you're not going to find in the stores because it's too offensive. And wear one so you can be canceled. And by the way, if you are canceled, there is a cancel this t-shirt at liberaljoke.com where you can say hi to Joey, who's now the store manager.
Thanks for not shoplifting. Goodbye. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who hates bullies so much that he has threatened to call the cops if he ever sees the clock strike 12 again. Ah! Todd Showalter.
Hey, we're back. I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey V, my real son Blake in the studio as well. And on the line with me now is Titanic expert Bill Willard. Bill, how have you been? How's it going?
Hey, Todd, appreciate you having me on the show again. We're doing great. We're having a We're recovering from the 23rd Titanic Con 23.
Okay.
And we're starting the plan next year's, and everything's going wonderfully.
Now, was this the big convention that you have out in Las Vegas each year?
We did last year.
Last year
we were in Las Vegas. It was the 25th reunion of our expedition team that recovered the big piece.
Right.
And that's where the big piece is on display.
Okay.
So we felt perfect place, perfect timing.
Okay. Well, we have a different audience now. I mean, the same kind of audience, but I mean, we have a wider audience. And so a lot of people haven't heard your story. Now, what you actually did, you are actually one of the first. You when they were bringing up pieces of the Titanic, you were actually there. Can you explain that moment again? Because like it was very it kind of blew me away when you were describing it the first time. Explain it to the listeners that haven't heard it. What was that exactly like?
I've been out there twice. I was out there as an observer in 1996 for the expedition then. And in 1998, we raised the 17-ton section known as Big Piece.
What was that called?
It's called Big Piece.
Big Piece, okay.
It's a big piece. It's enormous.
Appropriate.
17 tons. In 96, they'd had a few complications. And this time, they prepared for everything that they could imagine that would happen, and it was an incredible feeling to sit there and watch this huge side of the ship, of the hull, break the surface.
I bet.
And you looked at the portholes and you realized the last time the sun's light went through these portholes was in 1912.
Yeah.
And they laid it down on the deck of the Abbey Supporter, the ship that was going to bring it back to Boston.
That is wild. Now, how did you get involved with all this?
That will take longer than your show today to go into. Technically, what I did was in 96, I met all the principals that were involved, all the major players. I had the CEO of RMS Titanic Inc. was George Tulloch. George was a magnificent person, great, great leader, just everybody loved George that really knew George. And so I made a proposal, my actual participation hemmed from making a small mini ROV, a small scale ROV designed to go into the interiors of the ship. The French had this beautiful ROV called Robin, but Robin cost a couple of $1 million and they were sort of afraid to risk it to get it caught in places where they may lose a $2 million piece of equipment. So I made a proposal of if I can make one that's expendable, if I can make one that's small enough to get into the best places that had never before been seen, would they use it? And that's how I got involved. And one thing led to another, and then I was on the ocean.
Okay, I didn't realize that. So you actually made this, and this ROV, that's like a, it's almost like a robot type of thing that actually goes down and explores, and you actually
it's
made
it? It's a remotely operated vehicle.
Correct? Okay,
it's
and you
a
made
small little robot camera system.
Wow, okay, and you made it. I didn't realize
I
that.
Did. Well, designed okay. It, built it, and still have it and bring it to some of the shows when I do some presentations sometimes.
That is wild. Okay, so when you go out there, I mean, when you were exploring, I mean, what actually takes place? Because the last time you were on the show, I thought it was really interesting that, you know, people, when they see the film or, you know, the big film or even any of the films, I mean, they hit an iceberg and they think it's freezing and things like that. But you said when you actually went out there to explore, it was warmer. People are actually swimming off the side of the boat. Wasn't that true?
The ocean tends to be a little bit cooler anyway, but it was nowhere near the 30 degrees that it was back in 1912 in April. We were out there in August and July, so that's some of the warmest months. But a few ventured and went in and went swimming, and I did not. But there were several that did. The weather outside was, you know, in the 70s and 80s. It was a beautiful day, a lot of our days.
Why do you think why didn't they do the maiden voyage later in the year then? Yeah, if there was, there wouldn't have even been the chance of an iceberg.
Well, they took a more southerly route just because, and it was very rare to see ice where they saw it, even in April. most of the ice is much closer to the coast of Canada and coming down from up above Canada around the Labrador Current is what it's called. And so they didn't expect to see ice that far down. And they did get some reports of ice. But, the wreck of the Titanic was, if anything could go wrong, it all did at that time. 5 to 10 different things. You know, they turn the wheel an inch a day before, they don't even get close to it. So it's one of those incredible, incredible combination of Murphy's Law at one time.
Right. Now, some of those, were you on one of those, I guess, you know, what they would call that, trips, like on one of the those small submarines that had the problem not too long ago? I mean, did you actually go down in a submarine, or were you on the boat as they brought stuff up? Because I was wondering, you hear about this stuff. There's a lot of dangerous. There's a lot of danger involved. I mean, were you involved in anything that in that capacity? Is that something you think people should still be taking part in? I'm referring, of course, to the one that the submarine that imploded. I guess that was about a year ago.
Recent one, right?
Right.
Now there used to be four that could go to that depth. The Atlantis, the Alvin. I'm sorry, which is Woods Hole.
Okay.
The French Nautile was one. And the Russians had two Mirs. Those were very well built, very well tested. Nautil, for example, has never had to recover due to an equipment error or anything like that in all the launches they've had over many years. So in those, I would have felt very safe. But no, I did not go down in any of those. Now, the OceanGate Corporation did come up with their own vehicle, the Titan. And it had made several dives to Titanic in previous years. And, of course, we all know in June of this year, the catastrophic happened. And it really did. It was so sad because one of the men on it, P.H. Nargile, was one of our experts.
Oh, okay.
And he was a good friend of mine as well. P.H. was going to be honored at our conference for a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, okay.
We were planning all these things. And when the sub went missing, it broke our hearts.
Oh, I can imagine
what happened.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't realize that you were friends. Okay, yeah, because it was such a tragedy, and it just makes you realize. I mean, this isn't something. It's not like some type of going on a joyride for sightseeing or something like that. I mean, there's some dangerous things involved to do it. Now, when the stuff that's already come up. I mean, a lot of artifacts, things like that. And I was able to. I've seen pieces in various museums and exhibitions around the country and things like that. How much is still down there? Is there still are there still some major pieces and things that are down there that are still going to be brought up obviously haven't been brought up, but has all the good stuff come up?
Oh, no. You mentioned it's inherently dangerous to go down there. It is. The pressure in your car tire is 42 pounds per square inch, plus or minus, depending on which car and which tire. Pressure down there is a little plus or minus 6,200 pounds per square inch.
Oh, okay.
So it's not an environment that a human could dive down to or exist in. A lot of these challenges come with that risk that it could be deadly. There's people all along the way up to the peak of Mount Everest that tried and failed that are still covered in ice, that they buried them in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
That's all along the trail up to the peak. So that part is absolutely correct. Your second question, they've recovered approximately 6,000 pieces. Now, understand why I said approximately. If you find a box that's got 8 pieces in it, do you count that as one artifact with 8 pieces in it, or is that 9 pieces? So, depending on how you do the counting and accounting for each of those artifacts, approximately 6,000. That's not even a half of 1% of all that's down there. You're talking something that was 3 football fields long, that's half a football field wide. All the staterooms have luggage. They have fixtures. They have beds. They have bureaus. They have drinking glasses. They have sofas. Some of them have the second and third class have chairs and lamps. That's in every one of them. They have heaters. They have fireplace mantles, tables. Just in every room, there's things like that.
Right. As far as the ownership goes, because say something personal was found, like, say, somebody's diary. I think we talked about this earlier on another show. If they can't give that back to one of the relatives, can they? Because doesn't the entire wreckage belong to an insurance company that had insured the Titanic?
It did. Lloyd's of London had insured it. But when RMS Titanic Incorporated, is the group that has the salvage rights and owns the artifacts, and they are the possessor of the artifacts, they had to pay Lloyd's for the rights to recover and keep and do things like that. So the insurance company gave up. It's sort of like the insurance company sold the crashed car to someone who was going to take it and rebuild it or something.
Okay, so they own all the rights then, as far as any type of property or so. Even if you do have a relative that something was brought up, you couldn't claim that.
And the other issue is this, and this is a great point you brought up. You mentioned a diary.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that was a diary of a person who was 50 years old. This 50-year-old in 1912, we're looking four generations now, may have 60 family members.
Mm-hmm.
Which one gets it?
Right. So just
the
too
second
many.
Thing is to conserve it is going to probably take $8,000 to $10,000 a year. Who's going to pay for that piece to be conserved? So there are a lot of issues that come into play. You know, you're going to have a family feud if one out of 60 gets an artifact and the rest of them don't.
Right. Well, if any of our listeners want to get involved or possibly join or check it out, where should they go?
There's a Facebook group. It is right now Titanic Con 2023.
Okay.
Titanic Conference 2023. You can look up either one of those two names. Join the group. We will post information about the next conference within the next month. Also, if you are a website person, voyagesexploretitanic.com.
All right, Bill. Well, as always, it's been a fascinating show. I mean, I love having you on. I hope you'll come on again. I urge everybody to check out your Facebook page and your website. And like I said last year, I really would like to be able to attend one of these conferences because they sound fascinating. As you mentioned, it's actually real down to earth people, actually discuss this stuff with. So I hope our listeners will check it out.
If you come to one, Todd, I'll hook up several of our experts to talk with you, and even some of we've got one man whose father was 9 years old on the ship.
Wow. Okay.
And, Frank Goldsmith Jr. would love to talk to you.
Fantastic. All right, Bill. Well, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to the next time then. Okay.
Take care. Both of you have a great afternoon, and appreciate you having me on one more time.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Joey, that's Bill Willard. He's actually – he was there. Oh, and my real son, Blake. He was actually there when they brought up parts of the Titanic. Can you imagine that?
I have been on four cruises. Have you done a cruise?
I just said I won't go on one because I have no desire to.
Something I've found, a pattern, is that ugly people always say, I'd like to do an Alaskan cruise.
Oh, yes.
And ugly people don't like to go swimming and put on swimming suits. So
right.
My parents, my grandparents, they're always like, let's go look at the polar bears.
Your parents are ugly?
They're very ugly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With me, I've only done Caribbean cruises, and I love them. They're a lot of fun. I've never had the norovirus, never had to deal with a diarrhea or pooping into a bag because the toilet stopped up. It's just been pleasant.
Yeah, that could be fun, though. Yeah, you see, I'm one of these guys, like, I think I'm going to run up to the grocery store and grab something. You can't do that on a cruise ship, can you?
Mm-hmm. And the people that want to do Alaskan cruises, do they not know it's mainly icebergs up there?
Exactly.
I really don't understand their logic.
Do boats ever hit any icebergs, do you think?
Probably. They got one guy out front with a little hammer just chipping away. He holds onto a rope and he's just like, tink, 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 and then it's all safe sailing.
I had this son one time that said, Dad, can we go on a cruise? I said, no. And I think he's been, oh, wait, he's actually here. Didn't you want to go? Did you ever?
That was your idea. Oh. Wholeheartedly. You said we should go on a cruise. I'm sick of this cold weather here. And you even looked at bookings to go on a cruise. I have no interest to go on a cruise. That sounds terrible.
What happened to my memory? I don't remember any of this.
I don't know what happened to your memory, but that's how it went down.
You don't think I'm getting dementia, do you, Joey?
Joey, we could have some games with that, though. We could have some fun with that if he starts losing his memory.
Mm-hmm. I always tell him that, no, that's not your car. Your car is spelled films with a Z on the license plate. And he just starts walking around the building.
I do. And you know, sometimes that's all day long. You know, I just wander and wander and wander. And then finally, you know, somebody drives me home.
I like to rearrange his stuff in his office constantly.
Yeah, he does do that. And my sock drawer. When we come back, we'll be rearranging some things as well, along with Professor Jim, who is visiting us from Monterey, California, because he wanted to make sure if we were telling the truth about all the bullets and people pooping in the street. So if nobody has pooped in the street yet. Joey, will you go over in the corner and poop in the corner?
Yeah, we'll have to ask him if the waves are any good here on the Mississippi. I hear he's a very good surfer out in the Monterey Bay.
Yeah, dude, it'll be awesome, you know? All right.
Toes on the nose, bros.
Whoa, awesome. When we come back, it'll be fun. Professor Jim and I believe his daughter's with us. It'll be like, you know, Family and Friends Day here on the Right Mind Show. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey V, my real-life son in the studio, Blake and Mitch. I don't know what he's doing today, but he's been awfully quiet. We'll find out when we come back.
Coming up next on the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Professor Jim tells us how to use ChatGPT to get a free online degree. Welcome back to the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who is so against drinking that he throws slices of bread in the air during the New Year's toast, Todd Showalter.
Hey, we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V, and my real-life son Blake is in the studio on the Right Mind Show, and you're not going to believe what just now happened, Joey. Joey, guess what happened? Wake up, Joey. Wake up. Guess what happened?
Did the diva, Professor Jim, finally grace us with his presence?
He said, look, I live in this beautiful area of California. Okay, I can go surfing, I can go to the beach, but it's the holiday season. There's only one place I would like to spend the holidays, and that is in bullet-ridden St. Louis. And here he is. You know what? And he shows up. Not only does he call or send a postcard or a Christmas card or anything, he actually shows up and in the flesh, in the studio, in his bathing suit and with his surfboard. No, he doesn't really have that, but is Professor Jim. And not only that, he brought his entire family with him.
And I brought the only family who'd come with me.
I was going to say, is this something? Because here's something weird. I brought my son with me today, and here you brought your kids. Is this like bring your kid to work day? Because what do homeless people do for bring your kid to work day?
I know that people who have listened to the Right Mind Show previously thought that Todd and Professor Jim were unlovable, and this is proof that at least one or two people have loved them in the past and may even be on the will and get some of their stuff.
At least once or twice.
If you're lucky, we'll spoon for you. We practice that. We actually rehearsed, didn't we, Jim? Professor Jim. Professor Jim, is there anything you want to teach us now, or are you on Christmas break? Can we say Christmas to a California professor, or is that like holiday break?
Well, yeah, that is pretty incorrect. You should say holiday, because you don't want to offend the...
No, we don't, especially in California. We don't want to offend anyone in California because, you know, we're going to have the next, you know, a presidential candidate, it looks like, from California. Because Joe apparently couldn't remember what day it was, and so they're going to tell him, no, you're not president anymore. He won't know. Gavin takes over. We were talking earlier, though, Professor Jim. Don't you think Gavin Newsom could sell Subarus? I mean, he looks like a used car salesman, doesn't he?
Hey, that's the former mayor of our beautiful jewel of a city of San Francisco.
And, you know, we owe something to San Francisco because of San Francisco, the people of St. Louis have started pooping in the street. And I believe that they started that in San Francisco, didn't they, along with stealing things?
Well, that's their civil right, isn't it?
It is their civil right, as long as it's not over $600. Isn't that what it is? If you could steal $599 worth of stuff, are you free to go home in California?
Do they have to ring it up as they're throwing it into their bags?
It now. It's self-scan. That's what you do. There's like a self-scan for stealing stuff. Yeah, is that what it is? Okay. Caroline is your daughter. Okay, your lovely daughter here. Now, from what I understand, you're an attorney, aren't you? As an attorney, and I understand that you prosecute juveniles, correct?
Sometimes.
Okay, that's great, because that's why I'm worried, because a lot of people think I am very juvenile. Now, am I the type of person that you would prosecute?
I would definitely see to it that you go to jail.
You would. Okay. Is it because of the mullet? Because a lot of people on the radio listening to this don't realize I have a mullet. But when they meet me firsthand, they say, oh, my God, he's got a mullet. What's wrong with this guy? Is that what it would be?
Partially, yeah.
Okay. Now, when you do prosecute children, are they like typically under five, or like, are they older than that?
Probably the younger the better.
Younger the better.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Now, what do you do to these kids? Do they get the electric chair, or like, do you actually put them to death or life sentences? Because I think if you're 5 years old and you get a life sentence, that's an awfully long time. Is it a feel-good type of thing to watch a kid go away for life behind bars when he's 4 years old?
Only for really criminal stuff like being naughty. Saying no to your parents.
Right. Joey's back here saying, what in the hell happened to the Right Mind Show?
She was being kind of cagey. It sounds like she's an attorney for Santa, where you're trying to get all the secrets out, but she's in charge of the naughty and the nice list.
Did you say Santa or Satan?
Santa.
My ears, they're going. I couldn't, because I thought you said an attorney for Satan.
No, Santa, even worse.
Okay,
well,
gotcha.
Whenever I was being bad, Dad here would actually keep a bottle of pepper spray in his pocket, and he'd just spray us in the eyes.
That's right, because I wasn't allowed to physically hit you.
That's
but
right.
I, nothing you in would, the book said nothing about pepper spray.
Just a heavy spritz right. to the eyes.
Well, and also, I would put you in that room that had no oxygen, remember?
That's true, and no lights.
That's why you're blind in the left eye, actually.
That's
it wasn't because
very
I dropped.
Blurry.
Back to Caroline. Now, Caroline, when you were actually, what made you decide? Because there are a lot of areas of law that you could have gone into. What was it that made you decide, you know, I want to prosecute young children?
Oh, I do it for the money, absolutely.
Oh, do you really?
Yes.
So there's big money in prosecuting. Is that because, like, you know, you can blackmail the parents if they want the kids back?
You know, that state-funded money, that's where all of the money is, really.
Oh, state-funded. Well, going back to your father now, Professor Jim, what do you have planned for the next semester, and what can we expect as far as the socialist Marxist indoctrination of our children to happen in 2024?
Also, what student do you hate the most by name?
Well, we'll talk about you later on, Blake.
I had a couple of students hate me this semester more than usual.
Oh, do tell.
It's a very challenging time in education now that we have this tool called ChatGPT.
Uh-huh.
And any question that you can think of to ask, multiple choice,
right.
It can all be answered with ChatGPT.
I use it quite often.
Anything. There's all kinds of interfaces. You use Canvas or do you have
I use ChatGPT.
Okay.
I will scan or I will not scan. I don't know who's listening to this.
Well, I was going to say our demographic, as Joey will tell you, are mainly like they're over 80 and they're getting ready to go to bed. So I don't know if they know what ChatGPT is. I mean, can you explain ChatGPT?
It's a free degree. That's what I like to call it.
It is.
It was a St. Louis guy who came up with it.
Get out of here. Yeah. You're serious. Dude,
Burroughs kid.
A Burroughs. It's always a Burroughs kid.
Yeah.
Those Burroughs. Oh, that's okay. We have a we got Professor Jim has come from California with his curse words. Did you learn that curse word in California, Professor
Jim? You taught me that.
I know I did, but then you went back and you said, hey, Lion's Choice is great, isn't it? Why don't you just stay here for a couple of years? I did. Yeah, good time. You know, ChatGPT is basically like this app type of thing where it'll like write anything for you, which has come in handy for me when like my wife wants to know where to go for dinner and she'll say, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where you want to go? I go, I don't know. Let's just ask ChatGPT. And that's what I do. And we end up at the Sizzler Steakhouse, which is now an abandoned bowling alley.
She's been unhappy for years.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that on another show. Yeah, so do tell. Tell us a little bit more.
The beauty of ChatGPT and why it's so powerful is there's a lot of nuance in language. If you copy and paste a multiple choice question
right.
that is quite complex, it will give you the correct answer.
Okay.
And a complex question with double negatives, with calculations.
Really?
It will.
What a joy it truly is.
What a joy. So when I built my final exams, I actually tested them on ChatGPT.
Right.
And it scored about a 40%.
Okay.
Of course, I'm a professor. I'm lazy. I'd use the same test over and over again.
Absolutely.
Years after year. So I tried it again this time, and it scored 100% on the final.
So you're saying that if I had this ChatGPT, that people would have actually thought I was smart.
But if you give people – if you have an online class, which I don't know how many – sections you're taking now online, but most students are taking stuff online.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically, the academic rigor has been destroyed by ChatGPT.
Okay.
You can't defeat it.
Do you teach any online classes?
I do.
You know, I've always been curious about this. I've taken many online classes. Do you guys not care as much about the online classes? I mean, it helps me out. I mean,
personally, I hate them and wish we didn't do it. But the students won't register for anything else, so you're forced into offering them. And there is a lot of pencil whipping going on where professors
pencil whipping. Now, is that something? Is that something that you're the
call
Caroline
it cheating?
Would Caroline prosecute somebody
probably.
For pencil whipping?
Probably.
Gotcha.
And we all know that in every profession, there are people who are not doing the very best job that they can. But there's a lot of people who turn a class on at the beginning of the semester and collect the grades up at the end of the semester, and you never hear from them. That's because they're not doing anything.
Any final words? Do we have anything going on next week that we should be aware of or be looking forward to? And before we start 2024?
I think I want to say my New Year's resolution is to go back to the gym where I was signed up and just get out of that contract.
Right.
They've been charging me for like 2 years and I can't figure it out. So I'm going to stop working out in the new year and make more money because of it.
Well, if they have children that run that place, I got somebody that can prosecute them. And any final words, real life son? And because
what's your resolution, Dad?
My resolution is probably to floss other people more because I do enough flossing myself, but I feel like I ought to be more, you know, charitable and floss other people.
There you go.
That's what I got. Nice. Caroline, Professor Jim, anything you're going to do besides indoctrinating people to become Marxist socialist?
Yeah, that's a job.
That is a job, and somebody's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it.
That's
going
to do it. That's great. Well, okay. Looks like the whole room is ready for 2024. Why don't we have Mitch Murphy and the Murphytones take us out, and we'll call it a show, huh? That'll pretty much do it. Well, this is Todd Showalter. You've been listening to The Right Mind Show along with my buddy Joey V, my real-life son Blake in the room, Professor Jim live in studio, Caroline, who prosecutes four-year-olds, and Joe back in the corner guarding the door. This is The Right Mind Show. I'm Todd Showalter. We'll see you next week. And like I always say, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. Till next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to StudioTodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL and always streaming online at NewsTalkSTL.com.
It's Todd Showalter from The Right Mind Show, and we've got breaking news. For the holidays, liberaljoke.com is open for business. What is it? Well, it's got all the things that you're not going to find in the store, and they're kind of offensive. And guess what? Joey V is our new store manager.
When you buy one item from liberaljoke.com, a Joey V in need gets one free. Please help the community, give back, buy something from liberaljoke.com. A Joey V really needs your help today.
And please do. His eyes are bulging out of his head as he says that. Really looks pathetic. So go to liberaljoke.com. That's liberaljoke.com. There's funny t-shirts, mugs, you name it. Again, stuff you're not going to find in the stores because it's too offensive. And wear one so you can be canceled. And by the way, if you are canceled, there is a cancel this t-shirt at liberaljoke.com where you can say hi to Joey, who's now the store manager.
Thanks for not shoplifting. Goodbye.